This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
Spirit of Jesus, we thank you so much for the wonderful privilege that we have of addressing you. We thank you that we have the privilege of making mention of your holy name. We thank you that you are in our midst and that you have chosen to reveal yourself to us. We thank you that you have chosen to open your heart through your word. We thank you that you have not left us as orphans so that we don't have to fend for ourselves theologically or philosophically. We can simply lean our head upon your breast and hear your heart. We thank you so much that you love us, and thank you that we are able to love you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you prove every day to us the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you cause us to rejoice in the fact that our God reigns. Jesus, be glorified in the midst. Amen. Amen. When the Lord Jesus was about to lay his life down for the sins of the world, when he was about to die as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, the Bible says that there were certain people who were willing to do everything that they could to accommodate him on one level or another. There was, for instance, Mary of Bethany, who anointed Jesus for his burial. There was Joseph of Arimathea, who provided for Jesus his own tomb so that Jesus can have a burial place. The Bible says that Peter was willing to fight for Jesus and willing to die with him if necessary. And of course, we also know that there were people who were willing to spend whatever it took to embalm his body so that they might fulfill the custom of the day. And all of those things were wonderful. All of those things were commendable. Those were things that the Lord spoke on one level or another regarding. But I want to suggest to you that there was one particular thing that was particularly needful. There was something that the Lord needed to have done so that he could fulfill the will of the Father. And as willing as all the other people were to provide those things that they thought he had need of, this one thing that Jesus actually had need of was something that needed to be compelled upon an individual. A person had to be impelled or compelled by God to fulfill this particular ministry. And I want to point that out to you tonight. In your Bibles, in the book of Luke and the 23rd chapter, I want us to consider a message entitled The Way of the Cross. The Way of the Cross. The book of Luke, the 23rd chapter, and the 26th verse. And And as they led him away, that is to say, after all of the mock trials that Jesus had to endure, after all of the beatings and all of the scourgings and all of the mockeries and all of the spittings and all of the smitings upon the jaw that he endured, they finally led him away. And the Bible goes on to say that they laid hold upon one, Simeon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country. And on him, they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. Now, many wonderful things were done on Jesus' behalf, many things ceremonial, many things financial, many things heroic, and so on, many things cultural. But there was something that was needful, that Jesus required. And this thing was laid upon a man. The Bible calls him Simon of Cyrene. And this is a man, according to the scripture, who's traveling through the country. He might have been on some way or another interested in what was going on, but the Bible doesn't say that particularly. It simply said that he was going about his business. He was moving through the country. And the Bible, particularly in the book of Mark, it refers not only to him, but refers to him by way of his relations. It talks about some of his sons. And as you know, as the Bible begins to unfold in the later portions of the New Testament, it talks about his sons again as members of the body of Jesus. And so we might take it for granted that this man, Simon, was a good man, a godly man. We might say that he was a believer on some level or another. We might say that this was, therefore, a good man, a righteous man, a believer, going about his business. Maybe he was on his way to church. I don't know. Maybe he was on his way to do some good deed. Maybe he was coming home from church. Who knows? The Bible doesn't say. It only says that this man was moving through the country, and as he was going about his business, the Bible says that they compelled him to take upon himself the burden of the Lord. The Bible says that they compelled him to take upon himself the cross of the Lord. Jesus had been beaten. He had been beaten beyond recognition, as the Bible says in the book of Isaiah. He had been beaten with all of the rage that humankind has against God. And he is being led from these mock trials. And he begins to falter under the weight of the cross beam of his cross. And as he begins to stumble under that weight, there is a man who is compelled to take upon himself the cross of Jesus Christ, the burden of the Lord. And the Bible makes it very clear that this man was disrupted in his ordinary life. He was disrupted in his status quo experience. He was pulled out of his comfort zone, as they say, and compelled to take upon himself the burden of the Lord. It is a picture, if you will, that is seen in that question that is asked of Jesus. Somebody comes to Jesus and says, "Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus talks to him about certain things that has to be done. And he says, "I've done these things." And Jesus said, "There's something else that you lack. You need to sell everything that you have and you need to follow me. That is where this man is. Everything that was on his agenda was put on hold, and he was simply to follow the Lord. And it goes to another situation, one that's a little deeper. Somebody else comes to Jesus and says to him, what's the great commandment? Jesus said, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the man asks a question, who is my neighbor? And Jesus gives him a parable. He says, you know, there was somebody going about his business. It was a priest in this case, or a Levite in that, on his way to church, on his way to fulfill his ministry, on his way to do some good to somebody. His ordinary profession, in our days, we might even call it his specialty in the body of Jesus. But there was a man in need. There was somebody laying in the road who had been beaten. And because they had been so attached to their status quo experience, the Bible says that they just left that man because they were on their way to do priestly things or Levitical things. And they left that man bleeding in the road. But the Bible says that after that, a certain Samaritan came and he simply saw an opportunity to take upon himself the burden of the Lord. He said, this is not my specialty. It's not such and such a clock at such and such a church. It's not time for me to do this thing or do that thing or feed this person or feed that person. It's not on my agenda to preach this sermon or do that thing. But I see somebody in need. I see somebody laying on the road. And I sense that God is trying to pull me out of my status quo experience, out of my status quo existence. I sense that God is trying to share with me the burden of the Lord. Now, this is not something that I typed into my Palm Pilot. This is not something that I wrote on my day planner. This is not something that my secretary has whispered into my ear. This is something that God is laying on my heart right here and right now. You see, God has given me an opportunity to reach out to somebody in need. Consider then, when we choose to bear the cross, there is not only this disruption of the status quo, but there is a concern for the weaker brethren. The Bible tells us very clearly, let the strong bear the infirmities of the weak. Now you say, we know Jesus could have called down 12 legions of angels if he wanted to, but he gave this man an opportunity to see, if you will, if we want to bring it to our experience, another person trying to bear their cross. Another person trying to do what God has called them to do. And they didn't say to themselves, well, I tell you what, I have my own thing. I have my own experience. I have my own cross to bear. No, the Bible says, let the strong bear the infirmities of the weak. When you or I see someone stumbling under the weight that God has laid upon their shoulders, it is our responsibility to reach out if we can and to make a difference. Not to say about that person, I knew it, I knew it. I knew this person wasn't serious. I knew this person wasn't legit. The minute we see them going through their difficult times and their hard times, we tend to point it out and say, I knew that this person was just playing a game. Now here's the proof. Know what God says to us. Because everybody, you have to understand, was pointing at Jesus and saying just that. That's what the Bible says. We esteemed him stricken and smitten of God. But he was bruised for our iniquities, not his own. And every now and again, we will see somebody, and there will always be that tendency to say, you see, I knew this person wasn't righteous. I knew this person was half-stepping. If they were serious, they'd be able to stand under the weight of this cross like some sort of a Superman. But brother and sister, I want to suggest to you that that's just not the way it works. Every now and again, somebody's going to need your help and mine. Every now and again, somebody's going to stumble under the weight of their cross, and they're going to need somebody who is able to bear their infirmities according to the scriptures. But I want to caution you, the Bible says that when you do that in great humility. Because sometimes we get a kick out of helping somebody lift up their cross because it just makes us feel like Superman. It makes us feel like we're that strong. We don't like people who are bearing their cross well because that makes us a little bit envious and a little bit jealous. But we like when people are stumbling because now that makes us feel like super minister. But the bottom line is when we help each other, we need to do that with the greatest degree of humility because we're going to need them someday. One day they're going to be the stronger and we're going to be the weaker and we're going to need them. You see, when you allow yourself to take on the burden of the Lord, you also learn how to care for the broken and for the outcast. Because that's what Jesus was in that state. You say, but when saw we you hungry or thirsty or naked or infirmed or imprisoned? He said, whenever you do it to the least of the least, whenever you do it to the poorest of the poor, whenever you do it to those who are hurting, whose hearts are burdened, whenever you reach out to somebody who you see stumbling in the street, bleeding and bruised and infirmed, whenever you see that opportunity and you take it, you have done it unto me. It might not be on your agenda. You might not have written it into your Palm Pilot, and you might not have said that between here and the subway, God is going to ask me to reach out to somebody bleeding in the road. But he might just do that. And he said, whenever you have done it to the least, whenever you have done it to that person who is bound, whenever you have done it to that person who is hungry, whenever you have done it to that person who is naked and cold and homeless, whenever you have done it to them, you have done it to me. Whenever I call you to bear my burden, I am giving you an opportunity to feel what God feels, an opportunity to reach out to the lost, an opportunity to be merciful to the outcast. We heard our pastor speak to us a few weeks ago that when God is going to be glorified in a generation, it is when men and women begin to take up their cross again. And I'm suggesting to you that there are going to be times when that is not necessarily going to fit in the agenda of our ordinary cross. But every now and again, God is going to call us even out of our status quo, and he's going to say, I got a particular burden, a special need. Sometimes he asks an individual to veer off of his path. Sometimes he'll ask an entire congregation to veer off from its path. When we see a country that is starving and that is needy and that is overrun with all kinds of demonic and satanic activity, every now and again God will ask an entire community to veer off the beaten path and to find that person who needs the Samaritan to come and to heal some wounds. Well, I want to suggest to you, my good brothers and sisters, that when we share the burden of the Lord, there is something that we have to endure that we don't always want to endure. I don't know how that man felt. I believe he was a good man. I believe that he thought that Jesus was being unjustly treated. And yet, the people who were killing Jesus asked this man for his help. Think about that. You see, brothers and sisters, I want to suggest to you that when we bear the burden of the Lord, one of the things that comes to our mind is that we are on some level or another accessories to his death. Your sin and my sin nailed Jesus to the cross. He died for you, and he died for me. And when we get that close to the cross, that is never far from our minds. When we get that close to the cross, we are always reminded of the utter sinfulness of sin. We don't take the cross for granted. We do not take God's grace lightly. But we say, oh God, I had something to do with that. We say, oh God, my sin nailed you to that cross. You died for me. You were bruised for my transgressions. You were wounded for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was upon you. And by your stripes, I am healed. Because of your death, because of your pain, because of your suffering, I'm able to stand in a place like this today. God, I don't want to forget what you've done for me. I don't want to forget what you paid. You see, when God lays his burden upon your heart and mind, we're reminded of the great grace that was poured out to us, and not just to us, but to everybody around us. We begin not only to recognize the fact that Jesus died to forgive me, but he also died to forgive the person who's next to me, who might be clapping too loud during the worship service. He died for them too. The person with the Bible so big that it flaps over your lap too. Yeah. He died for them too. And we don't want to forget that. When we come into that kind of proximity with God's cross, these things come back to us. But not only that, but this man was able to enjoy, if you will, the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. He did not see Christ's sufferings from a distance, a 2,000-year distance or a cultural distance or whatever the case. He was right there. You see, when Christ calls us out of our comfort zone, out of our status quo, and he says, I have a burden and I want to lay it on your shoulders, all of a sudden, the cross is no longer this historical event. It is an historical event. It is an actual event, but it's not simply that anymore to us. It is something that we can readily identify with. When Jesus allows us to share his burden, then we can say along with Paul that we are in that sense partaking of the fellowship of his sufferings. We have been given the opportunity. As the Bible says, when certain people were punished because of their faith, punished because of their testimony, jailed because of their belief, the Bible said that they left that place rejoicing. They left those prisons rejoicing. They left those dungeons rejoicing. Stripes on their back, blood on their clothes. They left those places rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. The cross was no longer a distant consideration to them. It was a part of their life. The cross was no longer just the theological teaching to them. It was a part of their existence. There was no longer the status quo ins and outs of ordinary Christian life. Every now and again, the fire is turned up 7 times hotter than what it ordinarily is. And in cases like that, God will say, there is something that I want to lay upon your shoulders. There's something that I'm asking you to do that's different from the things that I'm ordinarily asking you to do. I need you to go the extra mile. I need you to go a further step. I need you to be able to bear a burden that you don't ordinarily bear, to go places that you don't ordinarily go, to suffer things that you don't ordinarily suffer. Brother and sister, I want to suggest to you that there are ordinary sufferings that appertains to ordinary life. And there are particular sufferings that appertain to ordinary Christian life. And then there are specific times that go out of the ordinary. Times of extraordinary suffering. Times of extraordinary pain. Times of imprisonment. Times of death. Brother and sister. But when God calls you, and when He calls me, out of our status quo experience, and when He says, there is something that I want to lay upon your shoulder, when we say, yes, Lord, when we say, yea and amen, when we say, as we heard Pastor Neil mention to us on Friday night, whatever you say, oh God, when we say yay and amen to God, then we find ourselves rejoicing in this reality that He has counted us worthy of suffering shame and indignities for His name. But you see, that's what happens when you come into that kind of proximity with the cross. But I want to go on, my good brothers and sisters. There is also this idea of the recognition of our limitations. You see, we want to say, Jesus, I'll go with you wherever you go. And I'll do for you whatever you want. And every now and again, Jesus will say, well, this is exactly what I want from you. And we'll say along with Peter, no, that's not enough for me. Thank you very much. I'm going to go with you all the way to the cross itself. You know what I mean? And this man who was bearing the cross of the Lord, you know, he was asked to bear that cross for a certain amount of time. At a certain point, the cross had to be given to Jesus because only He could bear it all the way to Calvary. You see, my brothers and sisters, God is not going to ask you to do what only Jesus can do. God is never going to ask you to go that far, but He's going to ask you to go some distance. One time I asked myself, I was asking the Lord in the prayer closet and just contemplating His words. And I said, why couldn't Peter follow Jesus all the way to the cross? And the answer was very simple, because I didn't ask him to. Very, very simple. And if I didn't ask him to do it, then I didn't give him the grace to do it. Which means he was on his own. You see what I mean? It's as though God tells you to walk 10 feet and you say, well, you know, just because I'm a good Christian, I think I'll walk 11. You know what I mean? That 11th one, you know the expression, watch that first step. It's a Lulu. That 11th one is like, you know, Roadrunner and Coyote. You know what I'm talking about? You don't want to take that 11th step if God didn't call you to it. That's just the way that works. And there ought to be a sense of limitation. God, where do you want me to go? I tell you what, God, you don't even have to tell me. You just tell me when to stop. You know what I'm saying? It's like that expression where, you know, if a person says jump, you just say how high, that kind of thing. But with God, I mean, at least as far as I'm concerned, if God says jump, I don't even ask how high. I just keep jumping higher and higher and higher until He says stop. You know what I mean? I mean, that's the way it is. And when He tells you what the limitations are, that's where you stop. And the closer you get into that proximity with Christ, the more you recognize there's a very significant distinction between His burden and the one that He lays upon us as individuals. He will always say to us, this is what I want you to do, but understand, whatever I'm asking you to do, I'm the one who gave you the grace to do it. Because Jesus went to the cross, we're able to bear the cross on whatever level God has asked us to bear it. That's very important for us to understand. But now I want to get into something else with regard to this proximity. Something that really blesses me. And it's just this idea that when we allow God to lay His burden upon us, It's usually the result of the fact that we have allowed ourselves to befriend the Lord on such a level that He is actually able to share with us the needs of His heart, the burdens of His heart. God inherently has no needs. There's nothing you and I can add to Him. But as He said, when some person was hungry, I was hungry. When some person was naked, I was naked. When some person was in prison, I was in prison. And every now and again, God will say, I got 1,000 people that's praying to me right now, He might say. And every single one of them is asking me for this and asking me for that and asking me for the other thing. But you're the only one who's saying, Lord Jesus, how do you feel today? Is there anything hurting your heart? Is there any burden upon your heart? And recognizing my limitations, I say, Lord God, lay upon me the burden of your heart. Whatever you want to share with me, if it breaks my heart, so be it. If I weep all through the night, so be it. If I'm pulled out of my status quo experience and all of a sudden I find myself having to reach out to somebody who I didn't even know existed, so be it. Lord, whatever you would have me to do, wherever you would have me to go, you know, that's true communion. That's where communion becomes really sweet. Even when we enjoyed the communion tonight, we were recognizing the brokenness of God. And we were recognizing a life poured out. When we have our communion in prayer with Him, do we recognize that? Do we recognize the brokenness of God over this generation? Do we recognize a life that is poured out for this generation? Because if we do that, then we have been given the privilege again to bear the burden of the Lord. That is when prayer becomes truly sweet. That's when communion becomes truly sweet. Because we begin to feel the joy of the Lord. We begin to recognize that this is what the Lord has chosen to do. You see Him there in your mind's eye, breaking that bread, ripping it in two, knowing that that represented His body, and still giving thanks. Because it was something that He wanted to do. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, despising its shame. He went forth according to the will of the Father. And I want to say to you then, if that is the case, and you and I do allow Him to place that thing upon our shoulders, then we also have this wonderful proximity with the blood itself. How many people literally had that precious blood upon them? I can imagine whenever He was hit with the nail, all of the religious folk with their long robes, they probably jumped back a couple of feet because they didn't want to be speckled with His blood. But now this man, you remember Jesus had been beaten, He had been bruised, He had been trying to carry that cross beam, and now it's laid upon this man. What a privilege, what an honor, the highest dignity that I can think of, to have that blood touching His shoulders. To have that blood trickling down His back. That purifying blood. To have that kind of proximity with the blood of Christ means taking upon ourselves the burden of God. If we refuse to take that burden on us, it doesn't mean that we are not Christians and washed in the blood. What it means ultimately is that we are always at arm's distance because the blood is nothing pretty. I don't care how pretty they make those fine golden crosses. The cross is nothing pretty. There is nothing pretty. There is nothing comely about the cross of Jesus Christ. The Bible says when we looked upon him, there was no beauty that we should desire him. The cross by nature is bloody. The cross by nature is scandalous. The cross by nature is a shame. But we choose to rejoice in the blood of Jesus Christ. We choose to say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We choose to relate to the old rugged cross. I don't care how many people are coming off the assembly lines of this seminary and that seminary and have proven on one level or another level among themselves that the cross is passé. The bottom line is still the same. We have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We have been cleansed by the purifying blood of Jesus. And we still ask the lost, are you washed? Are you washed in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are you white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? My brother and sister, that's the bottom line. When we stand by the bed of somebody who's dying, we don't come to them with 12 volumes of Calvin or 19 volumes of Arminius. We don't come to them with this story or that story. We kneel by their bed and we say to them, there is a fountain filled with blood flowing from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. That is still the message of the Church of Jesus Christ. Do we have that kind of proximity? But I want to say to you that when he was carrying that burden, walking beside Jesus, he probably saw a man whose face was set like flint. You see, when you get that close to Jesus as he's carrying his burden, you begin to see his face set like flint. And that's contagious. All of a sudden, you begin to see this man's sense of purpose. He knows exactly where he's going. He knows exactly what he's doing. His face is set toward that cross, and nothing is going to stop him. It is an express train, if you will, making no stops from the time that he was born in Bethlehem to the time that he died on Calvary's tree. He was not going to make any stops. It was an express train. And anybody who got anywhere near him saw that determination, saw that sense of purpose, and they understood something. This is not an anomaly. It's not some strange thing that's happening in his life. He's not just going through a hard time or a hard day. This is why he was born. He came for this purpose. And when you get that close to Jesus, you are reminded of something. Brother and sister Christian, we have been born again for that same purpose. To give glory to the Father. To glorify his name. To bless the Lord on whatever level he chooses. To set our face like flint. One time somebody came to Jesus. They thought he was going to set up a nice little kingdom and so on and so forth. And they said, I'll go with you wherever you want to go. They didn't mean the cross. They meant to wherever he was going to build his kingdom. He said, you don't seem to understand. This train is going nonstop. He said, I don't have a place to lay my head. I'm not planning on taking any naps. This is something that God has called me to. And if you would have stood with him as he was going up that hill, you might have heard him say, not my will, but thine be done. You might have heard him say, for the joy that's set before me, I will endure this cross and despise its shame. You might have heard him say that the Son of Man did not come to be ministered minister to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. You might have heard him say that this is the will of God, and whatever God has called me to, this is what I'm going to do. You might have heard him say, Father, glorify your name. And you would have seen this set purpose. And you would have said, amen. The last thing I want to point out to you is not only are we relating then with his sense of purpose, but we're also being infected, if you will, affected by the contagion of hope. I bet with every step he took, I might be taking a little bit of pastoral liberty, but I bet with every step he took, he was saying, I'm going to rise again. I'm going to rise again. I'm going to rise again. I don't care how difficult it is. I'm going to rise again. I don't care about the hardship or the difficulty. I'm going to rise again. Let the difficult times come. Let the enemy take his shot. Let the world mock and scoff. I'm going to rise again. It doesn't matter what the society says. I'm going to rise again. And if you and I had that kind of proximity with Jesus, we would be saying the same thing. I'm going to rise again. Brothers and sisters, there is an invitation tonight from the Lord, the God of heaven and earth. He said, I know that you're doing what God has asked you to do. You've been faithful. But I'm going to call you on a little bit of a diversion right now. There's something that I want to lay upon your shoulders. I want to share with you the burden of the Lord. And there's some people in this room who've been praying, God, how can I glorify your name? How can I glorify you, oh God? We heard it from our pastor. It touched my heart so, so much, the message that was preached last Sunday night. Glorifying God by laying down one's life. Tonight we're given an opportunity again to lay our life down for Jesus. Not in our own strength, but as we heard, by the power and the grace of God. Would you stand with me, please, tonight? I'm going to make a very, very simple altar call. If you have a desire to glorify God, if you want to be in closer proximity with Him, if you want to bless His name in ways that you had not done before, then very simply, the altar call, come and die. Come and die. If God is moving on your heart, if God is speaking to your life, brothers and sisters, come and die. If there's anybody else in this room who says, Bro Will, I'm not even saved. I don't even know Jesus. I give you the same invitation. In the name of Jesus Christ, come and die. Nobody answers an invitation to come and die unless they know that they are buried with Christ, and that they are risen with Christ. And that same Jesus who invites us to take his yoke upon us is that same one who said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you will find rest unto your soul. The Lord Jesus is in the midst now to lay a burden upon our hearts. A burden of love. A burden that he would never ask us to bear on our own. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, I accept your burden. I accept your love. I accept your grace. Because I can do nothing in my own strength. I lean entirely upon you. When you share your heart with me, I will listen. When you share your concerns with me, I will hear you. When you share your needs with me, I will say amen. When you show me the naked, when you show me the destitute, when you show me the impoverished, When you show me the bound, whether it be an individual, whether it be a neighborhood, whether it be a city, whether it be a country, I will turn toward you. I will go where you send me. I will walk where you lead me. And I will stop when you stop me. Send me forth, O Lord. I say along with Isaiah, here am I. Send me. Now let me pray for you, Lord Jesus. We thank you so much for your presence in our midst. We thank you that you have given us the burden of the Lord. We thank you that we have no strength in ourselves to take up anything. But if you lay your yoke upon us, God, we know that by your grace, your yoke and your burden is easy and light. And God, you will cause our hearts to rest. Lord, we are not going to try and do anything in our own strength, but we will say along with Paul that we can do all things through the Lord Jesus who strengthens us. And God, we say whatever burden you lay upon our heart, whatever thing you ask us, oh God, wherever you send us, wherever you lead us as individuals or as a church, God, whatever person you say needs a Samaritan, somebody whose heart is burdened, somebody whose heart is concerned, somebody who weeps with the tears of God, somebody who cries with the heart of the Lord, God, send us wherever you would have us to go, oh God. Lord, even now as we pray, there are burdens on our own hearts. There are needs of our own hearts. But now we say, break us from our status quo existence. God, some of us are right now thinking about how crowded the roads are going to be on the way home. But break us, oh God. Lord, some of us are concerned about how crowded the trains are going to be on the way home. But break us, oh God. Cause our hearts to be concerned with the great need of the afflicted. Cause our hearts to be concerned, oh Jesus, so that your name will be glorified in the earth again. Let us be a broken people. Oh God, let us be a people who say, I can do nothing except for the grace of God. But oh God, if you will strengthen me, if you will encourage me, if you will empower me, then lay your burden upon my heart. Lay your concern upon me, oh God. Lord, let me not leave this place without being concerned. God, let me not leave this place without being concerned. God, don't let me be like that Levite or like that priest who's so busy in their religion that they forget the need of the needy, the cry of the impoverished, the burden of the Lord. Lay your burden upon us. Lay your kavod. Lay your kavod. Lay your weightiness. Lay your burden. Lay your heaviness. And lay your glory upon your church, oh God. In Jesus' name. Don't leave us out, oh God, as you begin to call churches again in this generation. Don't pass us by, oh God, as you begin to share your burden, as you begin to share your heart. God, don't pass us by. Use us, oh Jesus. God, if there is a person, a place, a people that you're calling us to turn aside to, a people of burden, oh God, a country in need, broken and beaten and wayward in the street, God, don't let us pass them by. But use us, O Jesus, for your own name's sake, until the Lord be glorious in the midst. We love you, O Jesus, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the conclusion of the message.